Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Oh, yeah. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. They've got an unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and more than 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. And this right here, The Odd Couple, is the way sports talk radio should be. So keep it locked right here for the next 3 hours on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or SiriusXM Channel 83, however you may be listening. We got Ephraim Salam joining us at the bottom of the hour, but let me welcome in my partner, Rob Parker. What's up, man?
What's happening? Happy Tuesday. Trash Talking Tuesday.
Yes, Trash Talking Tuesday. That's right. The second hour of the show. You've been to call in and trash anyone or anything in the world of sports. You have 30 to 40 seconds to do so, so get your takes ready. Rob, who you trashing today?
I have to trash the Boston Celtics. Mm. You can't be trying to win a championship, game one at home, without their star, the other team's star player in Embiid. And there's James Worthy out there. James Harden out there, and you can't stop him. You hold him to 35, you win the game. You know what I mean? Like, you can't give up 45 points.
Right. And he hit the game winner. Good for him. Nice clutch shot in that moment. So, but yes, they are definitely trashable. And we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Let's welcome in the Odd Couple crew. We got Iowa Sam is in for DJ Alex Teichert. We got our man Ryan Bershinger running things for the super producer Rob G. And we have our Isaac Lohenkron in on the update. Hey, and Rob, are they announcing the MVP on TNT?
Are they?
I see. It looks they got the right. Is the Michael Jordan trophy? Is that what it's?
Yeah,
is that
the, that's the MVP.
They got the new Michael Jordan trophy.
Is that happening, Ryan?
I have the volume. Yeah, Barkley opened the envelope, Barkley and Shaq, and they have the trophy. I have the volume down, obviously.
Do we have it? We got a breaking news? We got breaking news.
All right, breaking news.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
The 2022-23 NBA Most Valuable Player is Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. He's the winner of the Michael Jordan Trophy, finishing ahead of Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Joel Embiid, MVP.
Did they say what the vote total is, Isaac?
Not yet, but I can't wait to find out what the controversy is going to be.
Check that online, Isaac.
That's what I just want to see, how
online.
Close it was or where it was. So, all right.
Thank you. Let's go here. Rob, what are your thoughts? I mean, you thought up till the last moment almost, right, that Jokic was going to win.
I did, because I was thinking of the voters and their thought process on the analytics. Yep. So I've seen the analytics defeated. I told you before. They tried to give the MVP when Miguel Cabrera had the triple crown for the Tigers, and they wanted to give it to Mike Trout because of his numbers, but that didn't win. And I just wondered, you know, where these analytics people are. And obviously it didn't work, not this time, as far as just looking at the numbers rather than having the eye test, not looking at everything involved and just saying, well, his PER is better than anybody, so that's it. So obviously that didn't work. But I would like to see where the vote was. But that'll be interesting going forward if they try to go back that way, because that's definitely a change from what they've been doing. I'm talking about the younger writers.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like if you look and think about television, I was saying Embiid, Nick Wright was saying Embiid, Stephen A. Smith was saying Embiid, Wilbon, I believe, he was saying Embiid. I think Jalen Rose was saying Embiid. I don't know, Skip and Shannon, do you know? I don't think either one of them had Jokic. I think Skip probably had Embiid. I'm not sure about Shannon. He might have had Jokic. But I think, Rob, there was kind of a – it wasn't like guys were getting together and saying, hey, let's push Embiid. But it definitely was like more of the people on television, Rob, who were voters actually, were pushing Embiid just, you know, in the course of a discussion, making their arguments for Embiid. And I don't know if that had any effect. Obviously, late in the season, Denver kind of, you know, started struggling. Jokic missed a few games. Embiid has some huge moments. And that may have, you know, had an impact on, you know, in the voting. Remember, he missed the big game. He didn't play against Jokic when they went to Denver. But the one-on-one matchup earlier in the season, he demolished Jokic, put 47 on him. And I voted for Embiid, so I obviously think they got it right. Do you think they got it right, Rob?
Probably right, but their consistency doesn't mesh. I think that's what I'm trying to figure out. Well, what is it now? Where are we? Where clearly it was about, because even with Giannis, I remember when people didn't want Giannis to win his second one, and people were questioning that because Giannis's numbers were better the second year, Chris, right? And it's just obvious. Right. And I don't know, Jokic, didn't he have better numbers or no? I thought he had better numbers. So
this year,
compared, he almost averaged a triple double.
Analytically, he did
right. That's what I'm saying.
Scoring was down.
He almost averaged a triple double.
May have been down. He came within 0.2 of a point from a triple double. But here, you, Rob, the triple double, I don't think that would have changed it.
No, not.
You know what I mean?
Because it was that close anyway.
Yeah, it's been a tad watered down just because of not to. This is not a disparagement of Russell Westbrook, but because he did it 4 years, it's just now not, you know, before, Rob, before Westbrook did it, you know.
Well, it was a 50-year gap.
If somebody had done that and missed the playoffs, Rob, he might have got the MVP. Even if, as long as he was efficient, you know, his numbers were, his field goal percentage and stuff was decent. But, yeah, Jokic's numbers went down, Rob. 2.5 points a game from 27 to 24.5. His assists went up by 2 from 8 to 10, 7.9 to 9.8. But his rebounds went down by 2. But his three-point shooting and field goal percentage both went up substantially. So his PER overall, I think, was better. But, Rob, what it might be, hopefully, this is a correction. And by that I mean, as you've stated, we've had guys, a lot of the younger guys who are covering the sport, and this goes, whether it's basketball or baseball, they look strictly at the analytics. And you are right. If that's how they voted in the last 5 years or so,
that's not how they voted this year, right?
This year. And again, maybe it was, I don't know the actual tally of younger guys to older guys.
But we're making a generalization anyway. But you know, like that is the sense.
Right.
Of the guys who vote mostly analytics.
Right. That they're generally younger guys and stuff like that. But I think, Rob, hopefully now they're doing what you and I have always said about analytics. Is like, look, it's a part of the equation and it's a significant part. We look at it, we take it seriously, but it's not the whole thing. Look at other things.
You can't look at it in a vacuum and just look at the numbers and not look at the game. Or the impact, or what games, like who did you beat? Where did the numbers come from? Like a lot of that stuff is important.
Yep, and it's interesting, Rob. The Nuggets, I think they won 4 or 5 games out of the 13 they played without Jokic. So they had a losing record without Jokic, and the Sixers were 13-5 without Embiid, including last night when they beat Boston.
Let's go back to Isaac. He does have the breakdown. I'm just curious to hear what the numbers are, Isaac. Can you help us?
Out of 100 votes, Embiid got 73 first-place votes.
Wow. It was a rout.
Nikola Jokic finished second. He got 15 first-place votes, and Giannis Antetokounmpo had 12.
Wow, he demolished.
It was a rout. It wasn't even close.
And it's interesting because I think in the past years ago, Rob, everybody didn't vote for all of the awards. You know, you might vote for 5 of them and then some of the other ones you didn't vote for. But I thought that had changed, but it appears that might still be the case somewhat because I thought there were more than 100 voters. I thought there were about 130-ish, but 73 out of 100. Rob, what does he have to do? Anything? I mean, does this – we know it's a regular season award, and look, we've seen – guys fall on their face. I mean, last year, Jokic out in the first round. We obviously all remember the Dirk Nowitzki embarrassment when they were beaten by an 8th seed the year he won the MVP. Anything in your mind Jokic has to do to, you know, not justify it because he deserved it and he got it and he's a great player.
You mean Embiid? Is that what you mean?
Embiid, I'm sorry. Yeah, Embiid. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing, especially with the injury. I don't know how healthy he is, Chris.
It seems like it's fairly serious. I mean, he's gonna play on it at some point.
You know what I mean? But I don't know if it hampers him, and you know what I mean, like to expect him to be himself when he's had an injury. I mean, I just think that's you got to be fair for a guy who's hurt. If you're missing a playoff game one on the road, and the situation that they were in against Boston. You know he's got to be hurt. Ain't no way.
No, he's dead. There's no doubt. And I did, and we talked about it with some of our guests. I thought it was some gamesmanship because obviously he played through.
You don't think that anymore now? No.
I mean, like you said,
you ain't missing game one.
And, and they had about a week, right? They had a nice little break, and he still was out. And so, what do you think? Charles Barkley said last night, they'd be crazy to play him in game two. Where are you at on that?
It just depends on his health. I mean, you can't.
I agree.
Like,
you should go by health.
If he's good to go, you got to play. If you really feel you can play and you're not going to hurt your team. I'm not into, you know, like you're hurting your team and you're playing. Like, if you can't play and not be a liability, then you should you should play.
Yeah, I agree. I think go on his health. Don't force him back. Like, if they had lost game two or game one, maybe it's like, look, he's 80%, but he's still a little banged up, but let's get him out there. We need this game. I'm not doing that. But if he's ready to play, Rob, if he's maybe, you know, shown in practice that he can go, all the players have seen it, the coaches know he can go, I think you actually could be sending a negative message by not playing him. You could be sending a message that, hey, we got what we did what we came to do. We got one here. Now let's go home. Because remember, Rob, there was a thought, and I still think that thought is relevant and prevalent, that Giannis may have been able to go in game three in the Milwaukee-Miami series. But because Milwaukee won game two, and even the series without Giannis, it was all the thought was, hey, we got a game to play with. So let's get Giannis a little more rest, and then he can come back strong in game four. And they essentially surrendered a game. You know, we don't know if they would have won, but you can, you know, they theoretically surrendered a game.
It worked out so for them, but it's dangerous.
Do that. Yeah, I don't think you do that. I think, like you said, don't force him back. Don't rush him back. But if he can go, then go.
Right. And you got to
try to win every single game.
Right. You can't be like, well, we got one, we're good. Right. And, you know, people say that. That ain't that. You could easily.
You don't know how the series is going to play.
Exactly.
Out.
It's just too hard to just think you can do that or play around with it. You just got to win every game. You're not trying to give them another game or any situation.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You've already talked about that, but there is just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for time tournaments where you work together to build each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Yes, indeed. It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. And we are live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. They've got an unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and more than 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be. At the bottom of the hour, we're joined, as we are every Tuesday, by our man Antonio Daniels, an NBA champion, New Orleans Pelicans TV analyst, and Fox Sports Radio NBA analyst. Rob, let's go to a game that was taking place last night while we were on the air. And the Philadelphia 76ers, without the newly named MVP, Joel Embiid, absolutely stunned the NBA world, and especially the Boston Celtics, and win 119-115. Now, the big story, of course, is James Harden turned back the clock and went Houston Harden, scores 45 points, takes 30 shots, but hit 17 of them, so over 50%, hits half of his three-point attempt, 7 for 14, and he played great, Rob, and it was so, like, I don't know if you saw this, but it was trending, I think, on Twitter. They were trolling some of the hosts on ESPN, not the main show, but just some of the shows during the day, were like mocking the idea that Harden might go nuclear and lead Philadelphia to a victory. And people were like mocking them because of that.
Right.
But were you surprised at Harden, and what were your thoughts on what he did?
Absolutely surprised, because there's been so much bad James Harden in the postseason.
Right.
And, you know, it's not like he's been lights out and he's just been on bad teams and situations haven't worked out. You know what I mean? Like, he's been bad. he's been bad.
Right.
And to put up that kind of performance where you hit half of your threes, you make the big game-winning three,
great shot.
You know, and all that kind of stuff, when your number one guy is down, and that's when they want you to step up, right? You know, next man up, who's available, who can play.
Right.
And to steal game one in Boston, where Boston has had a stranglehold on the 76ers, is huge. I think it's huge. And I'm not saying the series is over, and obviously Boston can bounce back, but that is something I didn't expect. I just didn't. And if you're Boston, you saw the way they walked off that court. They were stung.
Yeah,
they were stung.
I think they definitely – look, they've shown a propensity for this, Rob, at times during the regular season. What, they lost a 29-point lead to the Nets, was
it? I remember that. At home.
Yeah.
I remember that game.
Atlanta, they let Atlanta hang around longer than they should have in the first round, went six games with them.
Yep, that's another one.
They do this, and I think last night there is no doubt that they took Philadelphia lightly without Joel Embiid playing. Now, that's not to take anything away from the Sixers, because Maxey played great with 26, and Harden was spectacular. I'm surprised that Philadelphia won. I am not honest. I'm going to be honest, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I'm not that surprised by James Harden, and here's why. I firmly believe, I get it, he's older, but Rob, I firmly believe that James Harden, if he still was in Houston, or if Embiid was out for the entire season, or something like that, I think Harden could put up numbers similar to what he did in Houston during his heyday. Like, I mean, that's what he played like last night. It was a lot of one-on-one, him dribbling at the top of the key, creating space and shooting the three, or going by somebody like he used to do in Houston. I think he could still do that. And he is correct. He said in the post game that not many guys can switch from being, you know, this big time scorer to being the point guard and true point guard and playmaker like he has in Philadelphia, Rob. And we know he did it in Brooklyn. I think James Harden is one of the very few players in NBA history who has been an all-time elite scorer and could also be an all-time elite, like, point guard, playmaker. He's shown it. I think he was great in Brooklyn. We talked about it, Rob. Had he stayed healthy his first year in Brooklyn, we thought he could have been the MVP. I mean, people were holding it against him that he quit on the Rockets. We get it. But he was playing fantastic. Kyrie was like, look, I'll get off the ball. This dude is balling. So I'm not surprised that he had this in him. And Rob, I got to say this. I thought it was set. This does not like change my mind or give me confidence that Harden won't still perhaps be that guy that shrinks in the biggest moment. I get it. It was a big game. It was a big shot.
I get it.
Hit the three. But Rob, there was no pressure on James Harden. Like, this is game one. Your superstar's out. You're not supposed to win. Nobody thinks you're going to win. And you just playing with house money. Nobody expects anything. I'm just going to go out there and ball. I can shoot all I want because MB's not here. I want to see him do, and then he don't have to score 45. I don't even think he has to score 30. I'm not asking for Houston Harden. I'm just saying when you're in a big game, play your game. Don't look tentative or get tentative. Don't, you know, run from the moment. Don't run from the ball. Play your game. If your game now is 23-11, fine. Be aggressive and play your game. Rob, even if you're aggressive and you just kind of off that game, you can still impact the game positively in other ways if you don't shrink. And so that's what I want to see. In a game six, a game seven, a closeout game, whatever it might be, I just got to see it on a bigger stage. Because, look, Harden's had big playoff games. It's not like he's always been horrible in the playoffs. It's just in those crucial games, a lot of times he would go tentative, right? It was like he wouldn't shoot or he just wasn't himself, wasn't aggressive like usual. And so I want to see him stay aggressive. This doesn't seal the deal for me that he's going to deliver when the stakes are the highest.
That's fair, but in that situation, and it's true, no one expected him to win. So it does help you a little bit where you say to yourself, you know, if we don't win, no one's gonna bury me or kill me. But that still doesn't mean automatically you're gonna make those big shots and do what you have to do like that. That's just one of those things. It could turn the series. I'm not saying it.
Absolutely.
It will, but it could, because now going in, you know, they got to have a different feel, and they got what they needed, which was a split in Boston. They got what they needed, and hoping that Embiid can bounce back.
Rob, this is why, and you and I talked about it earlier, and there's these rumors and reports out there. We asked Mark Stein, the great NBA insider, about it late last week. Are these Harden to Houston rumors legit? And he said people around the NBA believe they are legit. And Rob, first of all, those should not be out there right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, how in the world does James Harden or his agent allow that to even be out there?
Because they want it out there. I mean, you're right.
Right? During the playoff series, we got a chance to win a championship?
I can remember in Detroit, after the Pistons won, Chris, the championship in 2004, and then the next year, remember, they went back to the finals against San Antonio. And the rumors were out about Larry Brown interviewing at Cleveland. Do you remember that?
Yes. Like, and that was Larry Brown.
That was that. Typical. Like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, that dude was the mayor of Detroit. Can I tell you that? Like Larry, I didn't understand that. How much love do you need?
Like,
you won an unbelievable championship. You beat Shaq and Kobe. And Larry Brown, Chris, you know this. He put his stamp on that team. He made Chauncey a better player. They played defense.
No doubt.
Like, that wasn't like he just showed up and the team was already good. That's not what happened.
I mean, they were pretty good.
Right.
Remember, they won 50 under Rick Carlisle.
But they weren't.
No, they weren't a championship team. Right. No doubt. You're right. But Rob, you know Larry Brown, as great a coach as he is, I have not seen a coach, and maybe even a player, at least publicly, that had wanderlust
always
as much as Larry Brown.
Always.
I mean, it's legendary. How did that affect the series at all? Do you think it affected
the
players at all? Or
no, because they
knew what Larry was.
Yeah, but they could have, Chris. I mean, you know, there was a big gaffe in that playoff series.
Yes, Rasheed.
Rasheed left Robert Horry to trap. You remember that? To trap
Ginobili?
Yep. I was sitting right over there to trap him, and Ginobili passed it out, and Robert Horry hit a shot. And then the Pistons had a chance. If you remember, Rip Hamilton had a shot with 3 or 4 seconds to go
that didn't go in.
But anyway, my point is, I don't think that affected him, but it was just weird. Like, you won a championship, you're going for your second trip, you know what I mean, to tell everybody it wasn't a fluke, Chris, to make it back-to-back years, and then your name's being mentioned for another team.
That was crazy. But, Rob, this is why you and I both thought it was ridiculous on both Houston's and James Harden's part. James Harden, you still got a lot left. He shouldn't give up his quest. They may win it. I don't think they'll win it this year, but, you know, they're in the hunt. But if they don't win it this year, don't give up your quest to win it. Go to Houston for what?
After a performance like that, why would you want to waste it on a team going nowhere? Like, you're at the end of your career. I don't understand. If you could do that, you can be on a team, stay with the Sixers. Or at least if you really got to move, Chris, then at least go to a team that got a shot.
Right.
But to go back to Houston so that you could you know what? In a couple of years, you could live in Houston and go to the strip clubs, do whatever you want. You could do all that.
Rob,
you
and
could
they
do
got
all
those
that.
All,
they got the
it ain't
season.
Like Houston's the only place with those
right.
clubs.
But I'm just saying, I don't understand.
And you're right.
It.
In the offseason, like the NBA,
move
Rob,
to Houston. If that is that
right.
where you like it, move to Houston. I don't get it.
I mean, during the season, it really the notion of so-and-so doesn't want to live here, and that's why he's leaving the team. I mean, players are free to go where they want. I'm just saying, when you live in an NBA city, during the season, you're traveling a lot.
Right.
And then in the offseason, you can live wherever you want. You don't have to stay in that city. So if you just are in love with the city of Houston and the nightlife and all that, you got the whole offseason to do that.
Yeah, I don't
And
I don't
you
get
can
it.
Bring, you're an NBA superstar. You're not just an NBA player. You're an NBA superstar. Heck, you can bring the party to you wherever you're at. So I, Rob, would be disappointed. In James, it would just be like you just selling yourself short. You know, you playing with Joel Embiid. Why wouldn't you stay there
and try to at least win one championship, and then not that it's going to totally define you, but it enhances your career.
No,
it doesn't define you. He was a great player. He's done a lot of stuff, but it enhances
but it would make a
who you are right? and how people look at you
yeah.
to say this guy, and especially if you go back to Houston to have two or three or whatever it is, three miserable years, to do what?
To average 30.
Right.
And I don't even know if he'd do that because they got the young guys they want to you know, give some shine to. So it just makes no sense. So
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo!
Of course you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this promo right now, it means you're listening to some other show. Well, why the hell are you doing that?
Yeah, get your priorities straight.
Well, maybe, Tony, they listened to this week's episode already.
I don't care. Listen to it again.
Yeah, great point there, Tony. Anyway,
you.
So you listening out there, make sure and go do that. And listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, game off. We got to pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying, flag on the play. You've already talked about that, but there is just so much good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. Unique stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes. Cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. Hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go, so get off the bench and go download it now free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. They've got an unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, and more than 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. We got Trolling and Rolling with Martin Weiss at the bottom of the hour. But right now, it is all NBA. And Rob, the Knicks are down 62-56. I've always known Eric Spoelstra was a good coach. How in the world is he doing this? They got three undrafted players on the court, and they are beating the Knicks. Now, it's not over. There's still plenty of time left. But this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous with Jimmy Butler and this team. I mean, look, Kevin Love was a great player at one point. Bam Adebayo is a sometimes all-star. So they're not completely, dismantled. But, I mean, Rob, no excuse for the Knicks to lose this game. And I would even say this series. But right now, They got a mountain to climb.
It speaks volumes to you. Like, I thought they had to win this game, Chris. No Jimmy Butler.
They have
the
to
doubt
win.
You lost the first game at home. Like, this to me should have been like, hey, this is our season.
If you go to Miami down 2-0, we know Miami doesn't have a great home court, but still. And Butler presumably will be back at some point. I mean, come on. That's just, it's ridiculous. All right, Rob, but let's go here. The big game tonight, I'm sure everybody's looking forward to, is the Lakers and the Warriors, featuring the two best players. I mean, whether you think KD's better or not, at this point, I think the two defining players of this generation or this era would be LeBron and Steph. And they face off again. And I want to ask you, everybody, we heard Darvin Ham talk about it, the Lakers coach. Let's play off of what he says. Here's Darvin.
It's the best rivalry of this generation. You know, Brian, what he was able to do, like going to 9 straight finals, and obviously Steph and those guys, what they were able to do with those 4 championships, like that's the rivalry of the generations, particularly those two players. But, you know, it's going to be another fun battle.
Rob, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when I look at those two, and I know they've played each other, and Steph has gotten the best of LeBron as far as championships go, Chris. But I don't – it just doesn't – is it really LeBron against Steph? I don't know if I really feel that.
You're saying you don't think it's a rivalry?
Yeah, I don't know if I feel
wow.
– I don't know if I feel that. I really don't. Like
– Why not?
I don't know if, you know, do you need to be playing each other? Do you know what I mean? Do you need for it to feel more like it? Like, you know, they don't play the same position. They do different things. They're not really intertwined. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I hear you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the part where I'm grappling with it.
I definitely think it's a rivalry.
Okay.
And I hear you on the positions, though. Because when we look back at great NBA rivalries, at least with individuals, I mean, probably, Rob, the two greatest was Wilt and Russell. And obviously, Russell got the best of Wilt as far as winning. He won 11 championships and Wilt won 2. And Russell was gone for Wilt's second one. He retired. And then Bird Magic, obviously, right? Rob, other than that, I mean, when you talk about individual rivalries, I don't think I can't think of another one. We tried to make Kobe LeBron a rivalry, right?
Nike was on board with that. I remember the puppets all, and yep. then the Orlando Magic said, Nike gear,
they
if you
sure
remember
did.
That. That
yeah.
They played those puppets, Chris,
and
over
Celtics
and over.
The Celtics said it too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it never happened. I think KD LeBron, obviously they're the same position. They're the similar size. People would think that could be a rivalry. They've played a lot of games against each other. But I don't think that's really that big of a rivalry. I think, Rob, this is a rivalry. And I hear you because I don't think we've really thought of it like that before.
I know I haven't.
But this is a surprise kind of that they're getting to meet again in the playoffs. And let me make the argument that might be could convince you. I don't know if you say, you know, some might say, well, LeBron, did he beat Steph enough? LeBron's the better player, and he's ranked historically higher, but Steph's won the most. 3, they met 4 times in the playoffs, in the finals. Steph won 3, LeBron won 1. So that kind of evens out, as even though LeBron's the better individual player, Steph's won the most, you know, head-to-head matchups. Bird and Magic only met 3 times in the finals, Rob. Magic 1-2, Bird 1-1. And I think that I think the way we talk about Bird, Magic, and the way we think about it and feel about it, I think sometimes we would be surprised when we realize, man, they only played in 3 finals, you know? What they brought was obviously they had the one game, the championship game in college, and they were both revolutionizing or saving, I should say, the NBA. One was white, one was black, one was with the great historic franchise, the Lakers, one was with the great historic franchise, the Celtics. And even, Rob, when they weren't in, like when they didn't face each other, it was like the other guy was in the finals, right? So when Bird got there and they faced Houston instead of the Lakers, it still was kind of like, oh, is Bird going to get another ring when Magic doesn't? Or when Magic was playing the Sixers instead of the Celtics, it was still, is Magic going to get another ring that Bird doesn't have? Like, they were battling not only head-to-head, but battling for rings. And I will give you that they both played similar. They both were tremendous passers, and they got their teammates involved. Neither of them, other than Magic leading the league in assists, really led the league in much. Bird didn't lead the league in scoring, rebounding. You know, Magic obviously didn't score a ton. He was 19 points a game. But they were like, they made winning the thing. And so that was part of the rivalry. And I would say it's similar with Steph and LeBron, Rob, in that, like, now, maybe it started recently. But now people are really looking at this like, man, who's going to get the most rings in this era? Is Steph going to actually get more rings than LeBron? Is LeBron going to be the guy that has the most rings in his era during his career? Like, so I think that those are becoming parts of the conversation. And they're the two defining players of this generation. They have met quite a bit in the finals. So I do think it's a rivalry based on those things.
See, here's why I don't. I think what you brought up about Bird and Magic had a lot also to do with their teams and what, you know, those teams mean going up against each other. LeBron has moved around so much, you know, that it's not – I think the team is a big part of it when you talk about rivalries. The Celtics, Chris, and Lakers were rivals. And then you had these two great players playing for these teams. That's just how I feel. Where LeBron's been on, you know, they moved around. Were the Heat and Warriors really rivals?
No, the team.
You know what I mean? Like,
rivals.
That's what I'm saying. So
there's
I don't
no
know. I don't
that.
Know. And as you said, and I think this is fair and accurate, that wasn't a conversation early on, and now maybe people are starting to say it, but it was never.
I think it's recent.
I don't remember hearing it when they were playing before.
I think it's because, Rob, and again, we both still think LeBron is better than Steph. Even if Steph wins this championship, it doesn't mean he's moved ahead of LeBron.
Right. No, it just
some
gives,
people
it gives
will
his,
say that.
It gives his minions.
Yeah,
an argument
yeah.
Some, to stand
some
on.
Some people
like,
will
like
definitely
they will use
say
that.
That. Right. And I agree. Like, even when they were meeting, when they met in the first finals, obviously nobody's thinking that as a rivalry. And then the second year, maybe you could have begun to think that, but then Durant joins. And
that changed the dynamics. Right,
because right. Durant was like the top player on that team, even though Steph was still playing great and putting up numbers. But it was so lopsided, and it kind of was just – and it was kind of like KD versus LeBron, Steph versus
Kyrie.
See,
that's what I'm saying, right. That was more like
it. I'm with you on all that. There's no doubt. But I do think now, though, Rob, and like I said, maybe it's starting now. And it's not – that's not fully fair to LeBron because he's in his 20th year and he's much older, although he's still playing well. And like you always say, we're going to count the championship if he wins it. You know,
right?
But and he does have the best second player, right? AD is the best, you know, player that teammate that either of them has. So it's not like it's a lopsided matchup. But I do think, yeah, now is Rob because it's Steph's just kind of starting to make people think he's even in LeBron's league, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's another player in the league right now that's in the same stratosphere, if you will, as LeBron, other than Steph. And I don't mean like LeBron's light years ahead of Kevin Durant, but I'm talking about when you're, there's no other player right now that's kind of in that top 10 discussion. I mean, a few people would say Durant. Giannis maybe one day will get there. Luka maybe one day will get there, but they got a long way to go. So I just think these are the two defining players of this era. And that's why people now, they both got the same amount of rings. So now people are looking at it like, oh, wow, this is, you know, these kind of guys kind of are rivals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would have to be it. But up until this point, I never really looked at it that way.
I agree.
And the same thing, like maybe if they were competing for, you know, this was the finals, you know, or a chance to get to the finals, maybe. But somebody's not going to the final. Forget about winning a championship. I don't know. I agree with you in that.
If whoever wins, somebody's going to win this series. If whoever wins it doesn't win the finals, it's not even a conversation.
You don't go back.
If Steph wins this series and then they get beaten the next round or beaten the finals, you can't take this to me as, oh, he got LeBron. I mean, who cares? It was a second round matchup. Unless you did it en route to the championship and vice versa.
Right.
Same thing for LeBron.
And still, it would be like a little bit of a stretch to pull it back and go, well, you know, and it just depends. You would do the final count whether somebody wins the championships or not. And you're right about the Durant aspect, because if you really want to be honest, you remember that shot that Durant made in one of those finals, and it was like, it was in LeBron's face. You remember that shot? So that was really the rivalry right there during that.
But, yeah, no, because, I mean, I think people thought of Durant and LeBron kind of as the natural rivals.
Right.
Again, same size, similar size, same position. And it was kind of Steph versus Kyrie, if anything.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.